Good evening. Glad that you're here tonight as Holy Week has begun, as you know. And tonight, as we have mentioned in the past, we're going to have our annual Tenebrae service. And the choir and the orchestra has assembled, and they're going to do Victor Johnson's In Calvary's Shadow, which is a marvelous cantata for this occasion. If you're not familiar with Tenebrae, the word itself means darkness or shadows, and it's been practiced by the church since medieval times. And tonight, as we look at the Tenebrae service and we think about the darkness, we think about the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for sin 2,000 years ago at Calvary. A Tenebrae service is a beautiful time for Christians all over the world to consider and to contemplate the mysteries of the cross of Jesus Christ and the awesome price that he paid for the forgiveness of our sins. There'll be several readings of Scripture and moving choral arrangements as we reflect upon Jesus' passion and the cataclysmic nature of his great sacrifice. Throughout the service, the sanctuary will symbolically get darker and darker as we do the Scripture readings and as we snuff out the candles. This demonstrates the darkness that comes over as Christ goes through the week leading up to Calvary, the crucifixion, and his descent to death in order to pay for our sins. After all the candles are extinguished, at the end of the program, we're asked to remain or leave in silence at that moment, or stay for a few moments if you'd like. But either way, it's not a time for fellowship and greeting and that sort of thing. It's a time to contemplate and continue to contemplate the death of our Lord Jesus. So please leave in silent reflection. And I'll ask you now, if you have a cell phone or any other electronic device that would make any noise and that sort of thing, if you would turn it off or put it in the mute or vibrate mode, then we'll be ready. Hopefully everyone has a bulletin. And if you look inside, you'll see the call to worship, which is from Psalm 88, an appropriate psalm for this service as we begin tonight. I'll read the light print, and you respond by reading the dark print. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you.
Why, O Lord, do you reject me? I have
from my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair.
Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me.
All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. Along with your bulletin, you'll notice the hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This? Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Father, you are most compassionate and gracious. You are all wise, all powerful, all knowing, and all good. And we ask that you would draw near to us this evening, that you would be pleased with our worship. Would you look with mercy upon us? For we are your people, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and to be given over into the hands of sinners like ourselves, and even to suffer death on the cross. Father, in your all-wise plan, this is how we are redeemed from sin and death. And therefore, Father, we approach you in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, and we pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, Pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground.
Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, the betrayer had arranged a signal with him. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, Friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writing of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they could not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another, not made by man.'" Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus, "and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophesy." And the guards took him and beat him.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests, with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, so again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?" But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, There they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
Thank you.
From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."